Welcome to the Day of Atonement. We look forward to this every year, and each year we get a little bit closer to that day when it actually will happen. We just had the Feast of Trumpets just about 10 days ago, which represented the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. And with him comes that ability to put away the instigator of sin, the devil. Today we're celebrating maybe one, if not the most important, holy days of the year of God's plan. It's a beautiful plan, and we look forward to it. When sin can be put away. Because the holy days picture a plan of God, and if one of these days is not observed or cannot be observed, the plan cannot be fulfilled. Recently, I had the opportunity, I guess you call it an opportunity, to repair my lawnmower. I did everything just right. Guess what? Still wouldn't start. So, my dear wife, she says, let's look on YouTube and find out what's going on. We got looking and talking about when you put it in, there's a certain part that's got to be in there. And if it's not there, it's not going to work. Well, it was there, but it wasn't in there properly. It's just like God's holy day plan. If it's done non-properly, it's not going to work. It was just a little gasket. Went in and adjusted where it should be. And guess what? It worked. I still need to do some work to it, but it works. That's what God's plan is about, doing things in the proper way. But we live in a world or society where everything we do or think is supposed to be politically correct. You hear that a lot, don't you? It's nauseating. If we should forbid, say, or do anything that might offend another one, which we wouldn't purposely do, the only way of correcting the situation is to cave in and agree and believe the same as they do, being politically correct. This is just one of Satan's cunning ways of undermining God's truth, where black becomes white and white becomes black. We see that a lot. Where good becomes evil and evil becomes good. Since the initial meeting in the Garden of Eden, Satan's been on the rampage with God's people. He doesn't want God's people to be successful. He doesn't want us in the kingdom. He wants to prevent us any way he can from being in the kingdom. Christ returns, and the Day of Atonement, that's going to end. I think we're all looking forward to that. When the ancient Israelites were delivered out of captivity, they were given a set of rules that if they would obey them, they would be blessed, and if not, they'd be cursed. We see the blessings when people are being obedient. Look at our society around us. We're beginning to see more of the curses for disobedience because they follow another god, the god of this age, Satan. He's going to do anything he can to divert our attention from God, from his way of life, to Satan's way of life. Makes it pretty. Makes it money. Anything he can to distract us from God's way of life, he's going to do it. And that has to be put away. And that's what this day is about. This is a day of feasting, believe it or not. What are we feasting on? I don't see any sandwiches here. Anyway, nobody's drinking coffee. We're feasting on God's word, not just going without food and drink. This is a day of knowing that the cause of sin or weakness is going to be eliminated. Let's turn to Revelation 12, verse 9. It's a very familiar scripture. Let's go back to verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So that great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who diseased the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Those are called demons. That's his co-workers, doing whatever they can to help us to not do what is right. I've never seen a demon, but I believe they're there. You know, I've read about them. And if God says they're there, God knows what he's talking about. John 8:44. Let's turn there, please. Christ is saying, he's talking to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know people that way, and I think we've all known people that they can't seem to get it right. And they are their own instigator of their lie. I mean, Satan instigates them to tell the lie, but they want to kill the lie over and over. And what happens when you tell a lie? What has to be your next words? Another lie to cover up the first lie. You can't get it right, so you're just going to keep covering up and covering up. That's what Satan wants us to do, you know. So we can't have that. Go back to Revelation again. I'll come back to that later. But over the last, I'd say, 60 years, Satan's been extremely diligent in trying to get rid of mankind, to steer us the wrong way. From the time of the Garden of Eden and the time of ancient Israel were brought out of Egypt to the modern time, to this era, the descendants of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, not really much has changed, has it? They fought then. They fought. They lied. Everything they had to do. We're still making all the wrong rules and decisions contrary to the commandments of God, moving further and further from God. You may be asking, well, how? But you probably already know why. 1960s ushered in a very pivotal point in our history, ushering in taking prayer out of the schools. You were not allowed to mention prayer, God, in the schools. Does anybody remember Madeline O'Hara? I imagine all of us probably do. She was instrumental in that. Then in 1963, the Supreme Court got involved in this. They upheld the argument of atheist Madeline O'Hara and promulgated an edict with ramifications so widespread it ensured that God would be evicted from public society across the entire spectrum of American governmental system. From that day to this, not only has prayer been outlawed in schools, the very name has been declared anathema to the United States Constitution and forbidden to be mentioned in any federal, state, county, city, or municipal context. The jury is still out on that. They still do it, but they do it with a, you know, tongue-in-cheek type thing. 1973. Does it, do you remember what happened in 1973? Roe v. Wade. It's still being debated. Even though just recently it was declared reversed. They're doing everything they can to go around it to the back door to get it done. But that won't be done anymore. God will come, or Christ will return and take care of that. But what's the solution? It's called repentance. We have to repent from what we're doing. The whole world needs to do that. But the only way they can really repent is when Satan's put away. Truly repent without having that distraction. But in Revelation 18:4, if you'd turn there, please, I'll just have my notes. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We look forward to that day. In Revelation 20, start in verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So it's not over yet. Okay? He has to, God's going to let him try it one more time, and then it'll be over. In verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. I want to go to the last sentence of verse 5. This is the first resurrection. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Brethren, this is what we look forward to. This can happen. And then we can actually have peace and prosperity, pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles. We're looking forward to that. Have a good atonement. Thank you.